Geico presents sharing versus oversharing. Today, Bridget Griffin shared a video of her daily yoga routine, two self-help articles, and her new blog called Build Your Inner Bridge with Bridge. Girl, your sharing has turned into oversharing. No worries, Bridge. Geico has some info worth sharing with your 7 blog followers, like how you could save money on your car insurance, update your policy, and report a claim just by visiting geico.com. How's that for building your inner bridge? Bridge, Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Total Spotlight Show. I'm the host of the show, Neil Haley. You can go to my website, TotalTurner.net for more information, Twitter, TotalTurner, Neil S. Haley, Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley, Instagram, TotalTurner, Pinterest, Neil Haley, and Google Plus, Neil Haley, and also on Periscope, at TotalTurner. And been a really exciting week of great stuff, and excited to talk today again to my co-host for the Total Spotlight Show and author Rob Roselli Box of sunglasses.com. Rob, thanks for calling and how are you?
Hey, Neil, how you doing?
Doing great. You know, leading into the holidays, busy times for sure, but exciting busy times for all the different things I'm venturing into. So I'm excited to talk more revelation. And Rob, for our listeners out there, recap what you've covered last week and then we'll get right into more of the revelation. We're almost finished up, and then I think some other topics we talked about for the next couple of weeks after that.
Well, I think just to recap, what we've been going over is Revelation 17 and 18, the last several weeks, and tying it into current events, and how it spells out what is happening today. I mean, today being November 23rd, 2015. You know, how current events are unfolding before our eyes, and it talked about the whore in Revelation 17. You can go read this, but basically what we said is the whore is in fact the United States, and the whore sits upon the beast, and the beast in fact being the world system, or most of the world. And as we can see, the world, and said the beast shall hate the whore and burn her with fire, and the beast being some combination of China, Russia, and foreign Muslim nations that hate the whore, hate the United States, can in fact see this unfolding in the world today. As we discussed, I mean, the world hates the United States, and I'm not saying that hatred is unjustified or the reason for it. I mean, we, as a country, we have anointed ourselves the world's so-called policemen, and it's American exceptionalism and all this kind of stuff, and starting wars and perpetual wars all over the world. And this is going back to after World War II. I mean, no nation has been at war more often and for more reason than the United States. And I'm not saying this from some left-wing progressive standpoint. And people that should know by now, I'm no progressive, you know, American-hating left-winger, but what I am saying is that the military-industrial complex, per President Eisenhower and what President Kennedy was warning us against, is in fact controlling this nation, and we let it happen. But be that as it may, the world is looking at the United States and the hypocrisy and what we're doing to the world and our fake Federal Reserve Bank, which people are realizing is nothing but a debt-issuing fraud and really a professional loan-sharking operation. They're looking at that part of it, too. And we're going to get into that as we get more into Revelation 18 this week. And just in the aggregate, again, the world is really starting to hate the United States of America. And this isn't, when I say the United States, I'm talking about the country as it exists today. This country that exists under this image, this multi-name scam called Barack Obama or Barry Sotero or Sobarko, whatever this guy's name is, this isn't my country, okay? This isn't the country of the founding fathers, okay? This is some conglomeration of the military-industrial complex and the illegal Federal Reserve banks and all this other nonsense that is trying to control the world. But as we're starting to see, things are not going to quite not going to work out that way, okay, as per what we've been discussing the last several weeks, and that's just kind of where we are. And layered on top of this, you know, again, in this confusion, is the occultism of our leaders, you know, skull and bones and all this sort of thing. And again, all this information, you know, we're putting out a lot of information and talking in broad brush, painting a broad brush of what's going on in the world. All this information is available. boxofsunglasses.com. If you want to read about the Eastern establishment or the quote conspiracy, what Kennedy or Eisenhower rather called the military industrial complex, I call the un-American genocidal complex, and that's really what's steering this whole shit. That's available. That book, The Un-American Genocidal Complex, is available on my site. Again, at boxofsunglasses.com.
Okay, yeah.
You can read up on the symbolism, et cetera. And that's you know, in a very quick couple minutes, that's where we are. That's a summary of the last several weeks.
Yeah, so I'm going to go back into the Book of Revelation. I think we're ready to go to chapter 18 of the Book of Revelation, so let me go ahead and hit that in Google and we'll go from there. But, I mean, the thing that really frustrates you is it looks like a lot of things have hit us right between the eyes when it comes to the United States and different people kind of changing the scenario in so many ways, right?
Well,
so, meaning like
I don't understand the question. What's that?
It's kind of like the situation that we were hoping for ourselves that we were going to have a country that's going to what our whole founders were hoping. A place for freedom, a place for, you know, a great place for freedom and opportunity, and it's going away.
Well, again, you know, to answer your question, I mean, this all traces to the Federal Reserve, the bankers behind the Federal Reserve System, okay, that control our society and have been for the past 100 years. I mean, and if you go back into your history, I mean, this is the first central bank going all the way back to the days of Alexander Hamilton versus Thomas Jefferson. If people remember their U.S. history, if they even still teach this stuff in school anymore. But basically what has happened is since 1913, with the passage of the Federal Reserve Act by that progressive trader, Woodrow Wilson, ever since then, is the American dream, the America as we know it, as it was founded, has been essentially usurped. And essentially what they did was stage a coup with the help of Wilson, the sellout, and in fact have taken control of the monetary system of the United States of America, which essentially means they control the United States of America by issuing debt, they call the U.S. dollar, issuing fiat money. You know, Proverbs 22:7, you know, the debtor is slave to the lender.
Right.
You know, we can basically, that is what has destroyed the American dream and essentially has made us all slaves to the international banking cartel. And remember, we talked about the money changers.
Exactly, yeah.
Their allies, the Pharisees, going back a few weeks ago, and people can read Matthew chapter 23 to go into the whole tirade against the Pharisees and the money changers. And basically Jesus, after he chased them out of the temple with whips in Matthew 21 and John chapter 2, two separate incidents. But anyway, and then he asked them, you know, how can you escape the damnation of hell? So you can see the vile and evil nature of the money changers. And that really is the answer to your question. And unfortunately, they're going to be the demise of us all and really are driving us into this insane drive that we are seeing unfolding before us today, literally towards World War III. And that's just where we are. I mean, it's just evil personified.
Right, and for sure. All right, so did we cover all of 17? So we're ready to go to 18. So lament over the fallen Babylon. After this, I saw an angel coming down from heaven. He had great authority, and earth was illuminated by splendor. With a majesty, a mighty voice, he shouted, "Fallen, fallen is the Babylon the Great." We talked a little bit about that. But the warning we talked about, I think, also escaped Babylon's judgment, correct? Do we get to that?
Yeah, Babylon, it says it's going to be, you know, we're going to be burn her with fire. So essentially what that tells me that these nations, you know, be it a Chinese subswarm, an electromagnetic pulse attack, a dirty bomb being brought in by one of Obama's allies in the ISIS or whatever this fraud called is, Al-CIA, the CIA founded Al-Qaeda, you know, whatever Obama is allowing them to, you know, float into the country or some combination thereof, North Korea. But the United States is going to burn literally by some surprise nuclear attack. But this all happens, you know, by the way, just sequentially. You know, I believe proper interpretation is that we're going to have a calamitous economic collapse followed by a very quick peace treaty followed by the surprise nuclear attack. It's all going to happen in a very quick sequence, and we talked about that a couple weeks back. But that's basically what this is saying.
Definitely. It's what they're saying, and it is what it is, for sure. All right, so... Well, we go to one warning to escape Babylon's judgment. I think this we did not go to, right? We just talked about Babylon's judgment, but not how to stop yourself from getting judged, right?
Excuse me?
Starting to get judged. We didn't talk about one. We didn't read this verses on warning to escape Babylon's judgment, did we?
Escaping?
Yeah, escape Babylon's judgment. This is chapter, verse 4, chapter 18.
Okay, well, it says, what it is saying here is, you know, the implication here is that it's you know, we are a nation that has given
right.
up its basic Christian foundation. And what this is a plea for is for individual Christians in the United States, you know, it says come out of her, my people. It's not a literal come out of her. I mean, you know, you got all these people, you know, trying to escape and, you know, going to Denmark and trying to escape to the different places in the world, Canada, whatever. There's no escape. So this is not a literal, you know, come out. This is a figurative, spiritually come out of her, give up on this great whore known as the United States because we have judgment pending. Just like Israel, the Old Testament. I mean, if you go back to any number of the Old Testament books, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, the so-called minor prophets, Zephaniah, and read the judgment that came upon both nations of Israel, this is what it's saying. It's saying, come out of her spiritually, redeem yourselves. And by the way, let me just say that. I mean, it just, you know, in a context, and that is the most important aspect of what we really need to pay attention here is, you know, your eternal life and your judgment before God is it's all a very simple, and I have on my website, you know, something called God's Simple Salvation Plan, and it really is simple. It doesn't involve getting involved, you know, with the Catholic Church and all their procedures and all this sort of thing. I mean, people need to read Ephesians chapter 2. Grace is, you know, grace doesn't come by works. It just comes by faith in God and carrying out his works, which is proselytizing and spreading the word and bringing everybody else to Christianity. I mean, Acts chapter 16, Romans chapter 10 are the chapters people can read about the simplicity of the salvation plan. So that's what verse 4 in chapter 18 is referring to. And just to recap real quickly, the call of the first three chapters in Revelation 18, when it talks about, you know, the habitation of devils and foul spirit and hateful birds. Remember, we talked about the concept of dirty birds, in fact, being so-called, equivalent to the so-called ancient aliens of so-called ancient Egypt, which really wasn't that ancient when you look at the Great Pyramid and that whole thing. And perhaps we can do a show on the occultism and ancient geometry and all that sort of thing. But and remember the tie-ins to the Federal Reserve note and the pyramid on the back of your dollar being symbolic of ancient Egypt and that sort of thing. So that's what 4 is referring to. It's just saying come out of the system which spiritually is represented by Sodom and Gomorrah and Egypt of the Old Testament. That's what the language is referring to here.
Definitely. So I'm understanding specifically that that's where it's going. So the next thing is threefold woe over Babylon's fall. When the kings of the earth who committed adultery with her and shared her luxury see the smoke of her burning, they will weep and mourn over her. Terrified at her torment, they will stand off and cry. What's that mean?
Okay, now you just read, what verse were you just reading?
That's 9, chapter 18, verse 9.
All right, so you jumped all the way down to verse 9. Okay, so verse 8, I mean, refers to what I was talking about a couple minutes back, is that it's going to be a sudden and calamitous kind of downfall. Okay, you're not going to experience this seven-year tribulation and all this other nonsense that the prophets of God, prophets with an F, have been telling us about, and this cartoon network Antichrist, and you know, sitting there stamping people with triple sixes. It's just, that's just not the way it is. Okay. Let's just take a couple steps back. I mean, you have to excuse me if I missed it. You know, the previous three verses. You know, for her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Now, I believe that's a reference to the Tower of Babel. Remember, we talked about the Tower of Babel a little bit. But basically, you know, again, the sins aren't literally reaching to heaven. They're reaching heaven in the sense that, you know, we're trying to get to heaven, however it be, you know, by our own works.
Right,
people
right.
are trying to achieve immortality with technology and all this other sort of thing. You know, again, occultism, literal devil worship. Okay, there's a Bohemian Grove link on my website. People can find that, and it gets into the occultism of our so-called leaders. And I'm talking about our real leaders and the people that really run the show. But anyway, that's what's in focus here. Reward her, she rewarded you, double her according to, you know, double according to her works. Okay, so in other words, it's almost like God is using these nations to serve judgment upon the United States. And this is following the pattern. If you go back to, say, I think it's Isaiah chapter 10 or 11, where God uses the Assyrians as a rod of his anger against the northern kingdom of Israel. You know, remember the Jews had split into Israel, the northern kingdom, and Judah, the southern kingdom. The Babylonians in the book of Daniel, okay, he uses them to carry out his judgment against Old Testament Israel, just as he's going to use, you know, some combinations of the Russians, the Chinese, North Koreans, the religion of peace, or some combination thereof as judgment against this great whore called the United States. Okay, how much she has glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. I sit the queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. Okay, now that's a very interesting verse. Okay, obviously, I mean, look, I mean, people that have any idea of current events and have the Federal Reserve System, the United States, you know, welfare system, what we've done to the world with our fiat money system is we really created money out of nothing and used it, let's just face it, to con the world. And a lot of the countries, as we speak, are figuring this out, China and Russia and all these nations, that we've been exporting all these fiat dollars, and the world is using all this fake United States money, and we've made ourselves rich falsely, okay, because we don't use anything in this country except fiat dollars, and people have been buying this whole sham lock, stock, and barrel, and they're figuring out that, you know, all this investment and all this use of the United States fiat dollar is nothing but a fraud. And this is going on behind the scenes, by the way, and if people are keeping up with what's going on in the gold markets and all that manipulation. But for our purposes here, just realize that's what's in play here in verse 7. Now it says, I said the queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. Now again, this is a reference, remember, to that whore goddess, the ancient Egyptian
yes.
goddess Isis, okay, which today, you know, the modern environmentalist, you know, translates to Gaia. I mean, people may have heard that term, but anyway, that's a reference to the female whore goddess, and it has, you know, that obviously ties into the whore of Babylon. But if people want to read about that specifically, I suggest Isaiah 47, where it talks about in great depth about the concept of the whore and the great whore, and I said a queen and am the widow. The language of Isaiah 47 pretty much exactly parallels what's in play here in Revelation 7. Therefore her plagues shall come in one day, death, mourning, and famine. Shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And that's what we just talked about with these foreign nations, and essentially some kind of surprise EMP or nuclear dirty bomb,
right,
et cetera, attack. Now they get to your question. The kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament her when they see the smoke of her burning. Now again, that's the nations of the earth, you know, looking at the United States, looking from the outside into the United States, basically saying, you know, holy cow, look what just happened to these United States. So you can see the language is starting to kind of come into focus here. And that's just where we are.
So when we get back, Rob, we're going to continue the conversation on Revelation. Want to jump into understanding verse, then we'll go to verse 10, then verse 11, sure, and so on and so forth. You're listening to Total Spotlight, show on the Total Education Network, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to Total Spotlight, show on the Total Education Network. Again, Tolter.net for more information. Twitter, Tolter, Neil S. Haley, Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley, Instagram, Total Tutor, Pinterest, Neil Haley, Google Plus, and at Periscope, at Total Tutor. Miami Book Fair International, an unbelievable amount of authors I interviewed this weekend. Continue to kick it off with some very good guests this week starting Monday, and we'll continue all the way up till Tuesday. Then a little break in between leading up to next week, some more and more big interviews starting Monday. I think two Pittsburgh Steelers, and then again Rob Roselli at 11 p.m. Eastern. Let's kind of look at when we're talking about verse 10, and it says, terrified of their turmoil, they will stand off and cry. Who's standing off and crying, Rob, in verse 10?
Well, it's standing afar off with the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, which is New York City and the United States at large. But the focal point of world government, the United Nations, the Federal Reserve Bank, and also, just by the way, St. John's Divine Cathedral, and I go into that in great depth in my first book, you know, with this ancient Egyptian pyramid right there in the middle of Manhattan's Upper West Side. So anyway, all these things are located in New York City and the United States at large. But anyway, it says that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. Now, what that's getting at is, you know, again, 1 hour, is that a literal hour? I mean, who's to say? But what the implication there is, it's a very quick time frame. And the standing afar off, again, is the nations of the earth standing back and saying, you know, holy cow, look what just happened to the United States. I mean, it's almost like the world is in some kind of shell shock, which you would expect if such a terrible event did in fact take place in the United States. I mean, of the magnitude of what we're talking about here.
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge thing. You're sure right. It's huge for sure, the magnitude. All right, verse 11. The merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her because no one buys their cargoes anymore. Cargoes of gold, silver, precious stones, and pearls, fine linen, purple, silk, and scarlet cloth, every sort of citron wood, and articles of every kind, made ivory, costly, wood, bronze, iron, marble. Verse 11 and verse 12, what is that telling us?
Well, I think you have to, you know, obviously, you know, verse 11, nobody's going to buy merchandise anymore because we're going to be a fallen nation, a nation literally destroyed thanks to the insane policies of our so-called leadership and what we've done to the world. Again, you know, engendering all this hate and ill will around the world with our hypocrisy, our endless wars, our issuance of fake fiat currency that has really screwed the world over financially. So no one's going to buy our merchandise anymore because we're not around. The merchandise of gold, silver, you know, and again, this is language of John, writing, and, you know, the Apostle John, he's now, you know, advanced in years, but this is the language of his time around the first century A.D., and I believe, you know, you got to run into verse 13, you know, wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men. Okay, so, you know, you have all these, you know, economic-related items, you know, as it relates to the economy of the first century A.D., but then the very last thing in verse 17 is souls of men. So, in other words, spiritually, what it's referring to there are our souls. I mean, we've been in captured. Now, remember, you know, Matthew chapter 4, you know, where Satan tells Jesus, you know, he owns the world, you know, he runs the world. So that's representative of Pharaoh of the Old Testament, and the souls of the slaves of men. You know, he controls figuratively and, you know, and literally. And that's what's in play there. In other words, we've taken on this occultism as reflected on the back of our Federal Reserve notes with this fake Egyptian pyramid, the same concept in a spiritual sense. As Egypt in the Old Testament, and that's really the key to those verses there, is souls of men. So in other words, you know, we're controlled.
Oh, wow.
I mean, if you don't yeah. escape via the light of the gospel, this is what's in a figurative sense, that's what's being referred to there. So again, if you're listening, if you can hear this, God's simple salvation plan in the United States is, again, I'm going to say it again, is the focal point of these two chapters. It is not Israel, okay? It's not Saudi Arabia. It's not the Babylon and Iraq. What's referred to here is the United States, because we are under, you know, again, and I'm going to reemphasize this, because we were founded as a Christian nation. We have been blessed as a Christian nation, you know, with that blessing and with that fortune, as we talked about. Remember how I discussed how lucky you are to be born in the United States.
Right, right.
We are, you know, Luke 12:47, 12:48, but at that same time comes great responsibility. So again, but, you know, we've been taken over again by this Federal Reserve, atheistic evolution type system of discussing the un-American genocidal complex, and our souls have essentially been trapped in this occult system, and that's what's being referred to here in verse 13. That concept right there.
And so, okay, let's go to 14. They will say, "The fruit you long for is gone from you. All your luxury and splendor have vanished." Never to be recovered. The merchants who sold these things and gained their wealth from her will stand far off. Terrified at her torment, they will weep and mourn and cry out, "Woe to you, great city, dressed in fine linen, purple, scarlet, and glittering with gold, precious stones, and pearls." So they basically are seeing that Judgment Day is coming.
Yeah, again, we're kind of seeing a the same message repeated here again. You know, the fruits that they so lusted after are departed from me. So in other words, let me think of a verse here. Going back and say Matthew chapter 11, you know, a good tree bears good fruit and a bad tree bears bad fruit. You know, and this is the fruit we're talking about in that sense. You know, the fruits that thy soul lusted after. In other words, worldly pleasures. That's the fruit that's at play here. And by the way, you know, just going all the way back to Genesis chapter 1, this really gets back into the language and the symbolism of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Okay, so again, it's not your Sunday school kind of, you know, Adam and Eve were kind of hanging out. You know, they picked a couple apples off a tree because some snake was floating around telling them to eat. Okay, this gets back to the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It, you know, traces back to that. So basically, it's more of a spiritual or a symbolic type of fruit that people are eating. You know, let me think of a verse. Say, go back to John chapter 5. You know, where they come across a Samaritan woman, and Jesus says, "My meat is to do the will of God." John chapter 6. You know, people must eat my flesh and drink my blood. So in other words, you're not talking about a literal you're not talking about a literal eating there. You're talking about this is the language being referred to here. And also, you know, Matthew 15 and Matthew 16. Remember, in Matthew 16, Jesus tells the, you know, his apostles, you know, says, you know, beware of the leaven or the Pharisees. And they're all sitting around saying, well, because we didn't bring bread, and they're all arguing with each other. And Jesus said, no, I'm not talking about literal bread. I'm talking about the doctrine of the Pharisees. So that's the language. You know, when you talk about fruit and eating in the Bible in general, you know, of course, there's, you know, at times there's a literal aspect to it, but really the spiritual aspect is really what's at play here. So again, you know, fruits that you lust after are worldly fruits, worldly gain, you know, the richness, this fake rich country that we supposedly are really is fueled by this fiat fake debt source system known as the Federal Reserve System, which we've all fallen for to a degree. I mean, but that is what play here. Then the merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off in fear of her torment and wailing. Again, these foreign nations, which is really most of the world that trade with us, are going to be sitting there. You know, again, they hate us, but if you think about it, I mean, think about Hiroshima or an event by several times, and it's going to be a shock to the world. This is serious stuff here. Okay, and again, I don't set dates. Okay, I cannot tell you. I'm not going to sit here and give you an exact date. If you read back to Acts chapter 1, Matthew, you get into the last verses of Matthew 24. We are not to sit here and set dates. And again, we talked about this. People run into problems, and they're always wrong when they try to set dates. Okay, but all I'm saying is that the current trends in the world are pointing to the scenario that we're talking about here. And again, I'm going to keep reemphasizing that. So anyway, that's the language that's being referred to. Again, you know, I think we're up to, correct me, I think it's...
We're up to another break. Yeah. So we're going to take another break, and then we'll go back continuing and with the discussion of Revelation. You're listening to Total Spotlight Show on the Total Education Network, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to Total Spotlight Show on the Total Education Network. Again, TotalTutor.net for more information. Twitter, TotalTutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley, Instagram, TotalTutor, Pinterest, Neil Haley, Google Plus, and I'm with author Rob Roselli, BoxOfSunglasses.com. If I have more information, and I really like what Rob's, you know, giving us a good breakdown of Revelation. It's taken a long time to understand specifically what is going on in Revelation. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's these two chapters, you know. I mean, look, we can, maybe in the future, we can talk about, the other verses, and obviously, Revelation is 22 chapters, but, you know, the focus of the last several weeks has been on 17 and 18 because I believe that this is a window into what is going to happen in the world in Revelation. In other words, a lot of Revelation is in fact symbolic and figurative and not meant to be taken literally. And this is what has, you know, driven so many people to have, you know, these incorrect assumptions and all these other things. I'm not saying there's elements in the other chapters of Revelation that aren't going to transpire and manifest themselves in this world. For example, the mark of the beast is perhaps the most popular that people are saying, you know, the beast system and all this sort of thing, and people are going to get microchipped. And that may very well be, but that's going to come at the tail end of what's being discussed in Revelation. Okay, so in other words, you've had 2,000 years of tribulation and persecution of the Christian church, starting with the Catholic Church back there in Rome, all the way throughout most of the world, really, and coming soon to the next country near you. Okay, so anyway, getting back to our verse-by-verse breakdown here, I think we're up to verse 18. Was that correct, Neil?
Well, we went into specifically, you explained, you were definitely in chapter 18 for sure, and we covered, I think, let me see where it says, and we didn't get to every sea captain, that was 17. We talked about, woe to you, great city, dressed in high, then it says, in our hour, such great wealth has been brought to ruin. And every sea captain who traveled by ship, the sailors who earn their living from the sea, will stand far off. They will smoke. They will see the smoke of her burning. They will exclaim, "Was there ever a city like this great city?" They will throw dust on their heads and will weeping and mourning and crying out. Again, another time where if we're talking about the United States, where people in the United States are just so disappointed they let their country go down the tubes.
Is what?
Let the country go down the tubes. The people of the United States ignored all that was happening and allowed it to happen.
Well, yeah. I mean, the people in the United States are, you know, we're almost aloof. And I can't, you know, look, we're all guilty of it, you know, myself included. We all are kind of aloof and kind of, you know, we do live in this facade, okay, this image of luxury in this nation, okay, what are people in this nation built, you know, that we're all just kind of living off of. But yeah, I mean, we're all kind of just kind of in a daze in this nation, you know, not really realizing the danger that awaits us, the dangers that's lurking, and a lot of it courtesy of our very own federal government and these people that have been running the nation, both the face you see on the news and those behind it. Again, you know, the Federal Reserve, the Un-American Genocidal Complex, or the Eastern Establishment, or whatever you want to call it. Okay, I see, you know, I'm watching a clock here, and I see, you know, we got a few more verses to go, and we've got about 20 minutes left here. But again, you know, verse 19, you know, again, it's the same kind of concept. They cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, "Alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness." Again, here's that verse, or here's that concept, where in 1 hour is she made desolate. And then we kind of see a repeat of that same concept of a very quick demise, of the whore by the beast, which is the world system. And we can develop that as well. I mean, I believe it's a combination of Russia, Germany, and in fact our own Anglo-American establishment, our shadow government. But anyway,
yeah, definitely.
And this gets confusing. I mean, you know, really, we need to develop some of these things. I'm just trying to stick to Revelation 18 right here. But yeah, and it will get confusing because when the liar and the father of lies, if you go back to John chapter 8, it is in control of the world. It becomes quite a task trying to unwind all these rabbit trails and all these all this other reasons, et cetera. But anyway, let's just try and stay on point here. And then it says, you know, and a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, "Thus with violence shall the great city..." Oh, excuse me. Let's go back to verse 20. "Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her." Now, if people can go back and read about the fifth seal, okay, in Revelation, okay, and I believe that this is the same language, because, you know, they're praying, they're saying, you know, "When are you going to avenge our deaths on the world of the people that killed us?" And that's what's, I think this ties back into that fifth seal. And again, let me explain. It's okay. It's not a revenge. You know, what we're talking about here are awful events. Let's just be frank, okay? But then the people, the pure evil, the evil hearts of the people that we're dealing with, this is the only language that they understand. So people need to realize that. And okay, this time of judgment is coming. Again, I can't say when, but the current events of what's going on in the world are pointing more and more to this scenario. But this is the vengeance. So if people want to read up on that, they can go back and read up on the fifth seal of Revelation as to what kind of vengeance is being referred to here, okay? And you go back and read in the Old Testament about vengeance. You know, it's all over Isaiah, Jeremiah. You can read it. Jeremiah 7 through 9, for instance, you can read about the kind of vengeance we're talking about here. Now in the verse 22, to me, I find very interesting, okay, and the voice of harpers and musicians and the pipers and trumpeteers shall be heard no more in thee, no craftsman of whatsoever craft you may be shall be found any more in thee, and the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. This is a very interesting verse to me. Okay, when you start talking about harpers and musicians, what is the first thing that comes to my mind, it may not come to most people's minds, is the concept of the ancient Greek god known as Apollo. Okay, it was Apollo.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It was Apollo. Apollo just happens to represent the sun god Osiris, or the male side of that male-female combination. Remember, most notably exemplified by Isis and Osiris of Egyptian mythology. Now, you know, Apollo, at some level, is the Greek equivalent of the Egyptian Osiris. Now, remember, if you go back, you know, to your world history now, and this is reflected in the Bible, and don't forget Apollyon. Okay, remember. You know, but anyway, that's going back earlier in Revelation. If you go back to chapter 9, when you open up the bottomless pit, and the angel of the bottomless pit is called Apollyon. Okay, I believe that this is the representative of the ancient, you know, Egyptian god Osiris, Egyptian sun god. But anyway, who is the harper? You know, that's what Apollo was known for in so-called Greek, quote, mythology, is music. Right, so this is what's
right
in focus here. Okay, pipers and trumpeters, and if you read about, you know, occultism and music and all this sort of thing, and ancient geometry, okay, and another name for Apollo or Osiris or the god of Freemasonry, which we'll talk about in a minute, is the great architect of the universe. Okay, so remember now, mm-hmm. to tie into this, remember a few minutes ago we were talking about Matthew chapter 15.
Right.
In chapter 16, okay, where we talked about the leaven of the Pharisees. Now what happened just before that? If you go back to the end of Matthew chapter 15, like once again, Jesus tells the Pharisees, you're aware of the signs of the sky, but you're not aware of the signs of the time. So what is Jesus saying there? He's saying you're a bunch of occultists, okay? You're a bunch of stargazers. You're into this ancient astrology, and again, if people, you got to watch shows like Ancient Aliens and this sort of thing, okay, I believe what this is talking about is things like Genesis chapter 6, and remember, reaching heaven, okay, these people are trying to reach heaven by reading the stars, and you know, astronomy is based on the so-called ancient art or science of astrology, okay, because, and this, again, this ties into, if you look at the, for example, the pyramids of ancient Egypt, you know, align with the belt of Orion, okay, and Orion is another name for Osiris or Apollo. So you can start to see this picture starting to develop here, what's really going on here and what this language refers to. Okay, obviously it's not referring to the tabernacle choir, okay?
No, no. So when we get back, we'll continue. Right. When we get back, Rob, we're going to add to that point. You're listening to the Spotlight Show on the Total Education Network, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to the Total Spotlight Show on the Total Education Network and TotalTutor.net for more information. Twitter, TotalTutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook. LinkedIn, Neil Haley, Instagram, TotalTutor, Pinterest, Neil Haley, Google+. And Rob, continue where you were talking about.
Well, basically, what I was talking about and the subject I'm trying to develop, you know, again, I'm trying to cover literally, you know, dozens and, you know, if not hundreds of pages of research and, you know, in a couple of minutes. I'm trying to encapsulate or capture the language here. Okay, but what I'm saying is that this concept of harpers and musicians refers to ancient so-called mythologies. Okay, you know, and again, I'm one of these really kooky people who sits there and say there's no blanking way that a bunch of Neanderthals who just walked and learned to chew gum at the same time, if we're to believe the evolutionists, that they just popped up out of nowhere, you know, this society, you know, ancient Sumeria, which just kind of migrated over to places like Egypt. There's no way that they built the pyramid, the Great Pyramid, and the pyramid complex at Giza in Egypt, for example, and all these other ancient stone temples around the world. But let's just stay focused on Egypt and the geometric exactness of the Great Pyramids. Okay, but anyway, done under the guise of the ancient sun god Osiris, or Apollo, or Apollyon, okay, who's associated, that's the association here, the voice of harpers and musicians and pipers. Now remember, I'm going to say it again, the key point, you know, for our purposes in the modern day United States is you just need to look on the back of your Federal Reserve note with the uncapped Egyptian pyramid. And what's above it but that illuminated eye of Osiris or Apollo, okay? Again, Genesis chapter 3, yea, hath God said, you know, your eyes shall be opened, okay? That's what's this here, okay? It's again, it's not a literal, it's more of a figurative kind of language, okay? The Illuminati, okay? You know, I know Dan Brown and the Da Vinci Code, they kind of, in a way, kind of mocked the whole concept.
Right.
You know, Tom Hanks running around like it was some kind of, you know, it's there, but it's just kind of for the movies. No, okay. The illumination we're talking about is a direct reference to the concept of the open eye above the unfinished pyramid, okay, and which kind of ties into this language, okay. Now it uses the word craftsman. Now what's the focus here? The first thing you think of is Freemasonry, okay, and that's exactly correct. And I'm going to say it again, okay, I'm not talking about your run-of-the-mill Freemason hall, you know, where local guys just get together and, you know, at the Freemason hall, and, you know, they do charitable work and they do good work. That's not what I'm referring to here. I'm referring, again, to the people that really won the world, okay, under the guise of Osiris, Apollo, the god of light in their eyes, or Lucifer, okay, Luce, you know, they got that root, that Latin root word, loose, okay, that's at play here. But again, this is a craftsman that referring to. Now, to this language, you can go back to, say, Deuteronomy chapter 27, you know, and God says, you know, I'm talking about stones and, you know, you're going to build an altar, but don't use hewn stones. In other words, don't use stones that are shaped, again, you know, obviously there's a literal, you know, there's a little stone altar they're talking about, but what is God really saying there? Do you think he really cares about whether, you know, stones that people build their altar out of it are shaped or not? But what he's really referring to is this building of a world system or a world pyramid out of stones, okay, in other words, shaping people to build a world slave state, i.e. ancient Egypt, but ancient Egypt in the modern world, except, you know, in the case, you know, it was a physical slavery in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, you know, as far as the Federal Reserve System, I mean, again, we're all slaves to the system. The debtor is slave to the lender. This is the system that the people that run the world are building, okay? It's a figurative and spiritual system, but it's a slave system nonetheless based on ancient Egypt. And again, for precedence for this language, okay, this makes... So if you go back to Matthew chapter 21, and Jesus says the stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, okay? And if you read more about this language, and you remember Jesus in Matthew chapter 16, okay, what does he say? You know, he says to Peter, you know, on this rock, you know, you're the foundation, you know, he's going to build his house. Okay, this is the language that's at play here, okay? So when you talk about craftsmen in the earthly sense, you're talking about the concept of Freemasonry, which itself claims to be founded in ancient Egypt. Okay, so in other words, they're trying to build a world system of man. Okay, but obviously, if you do that, I mean, what are we really talking about there? You're talking about communism. Okay, that's the only way to build a system, a man system, or the system of Orwell's 1984. But nonetheless, this is a craftsman.
Yeah. Right.
That are being referred to here. That's the language that's at play. I know I've said a lot, but, you know, hopefully, you know, people are playing this, or they're replaying it, and they're going back and they're reading these verses that I'm throwing out there. Okay, and actually, let me just throw in another key verse. Remember in Matthew chapter 3, you know, John the Baptist says, he says to the Pharisees, again, And a lot of Freemasonry, let me just say this also, a lot of the Freemasonry, okay, if you read Albert Pike's Morals and Dogma, okay, one of the backbones or keys to Freemasonry is the Jewish Kabbalah. Okay, you know, this is these Jewish mystics that took the language of the Bible and used it for occult purposes, and that's basically what the Kabbalah is. Okay, and that's, so when John says in chapter 3, you know, you brood of vipers or you generation of vipers, you know, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? He says, think not that we have Abraham as our father. And John says, for out of these stones that I can raise children of Abraham. So John's not saying, you know, look, there's a bunch of rocks on the ground, you know, God's going to point to them and say, you know, become people. He's saying out of these stones, in other words, this is the same concept here, okay, this stones, the spiritual house, you know, I would say at the top of my head, Ephesians chapter 2, you can read about that. What's the play here? Again, Matthew chapter 16, you know, Peter is the foundation. That's the language. That's what this is really saying. In Revelation 18, verse 22, so their house is going to come crumbling down. In other words, they've been trying to rebuild the system of ancient Babylon of the United States. That's all going to come crashing down. Okay, it's a huge concept. It's a lot to digest. That's
yes.
That's
so
right
so
here.
What, so let's just verse. Talk about. We're going to continue. Where we because you almost finished up, and I, well, the finality of Babylon's doom. Let's kind of jump into that, and then say, and then the mighty angel picked up a boulder the size of a large millstone and threw it into the sea. With such violence, the great city Babylon will be thrown down, never to be found again. The music of the harpists and musicians, pipers and trumpeters, which I think was in another verse as well, will never be heard again. No worker in any trade will ever be heard again. The sound of millstone will never be heard again. The light of the lamp will never be received again. So just a gigantic list of things that could happen if the end of the world came and that people would lose things. And that's what they want, right?
Well, I think what's at play here, and we're getting now, actually the timing's working out pretty good here. I see we've got a couple minutes left, and, you know, we're down to verses 23 and 24, the last two verses. Okay, and the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. So I think that's a very interesting you know, passage right there, the voice of the bridegroom and the bride. So essentially what that's referring to, again, is this marriage, this combination of the male and the female, okay, of Osiris, Isis and Osiris of the Old Testament. Okay, and what I find very interesting is if you go back and you read ancient, you know, so-called mythology, you find out, and you overlay it, let's just say you overlay it onto the first several chapters of Genesis, okay, I believe that there's an exact match there. Okay, when you start talking about Eve, and she represents Isis, okay, and Adam represents Osiris, okay, or some form of the ancient sun god, there are echoes in ancient mythology of the concept being talked about with the bride and the bridegroom, for example. You know, in Greek mythology, now the Greeks were, you know, well known for their mythology, but really all they did was borrowed from Egypt and changed some names around. In the same way that the Romans did to the Greeks, they, you know, they took Greek mythology and just, you know, changed some names around. So, for example, you know, the Roman Jupiter was equivalent to the Greek Zeus, who has ties to, again, the Egyptian sun god Osiris, and all this sort of thing. But you know, if we focus on, say, the Greek mythology, or the Egyptian was Isis and Osiris, but in the Greek mythology, okay, who was the initial creator? Okay, you know, the original Mother Earth was Gaia, okay, and her husband was Uranus, okay, and he, you know, he copulated into Gaia and produced, you know, then now came the Titans and, you know, the other, you know, the Olympian gods and this sort of thing. So it has, you know, it has reflections in the early chapters of Genesis, but the concept is this male and female, okay, you know, getting together and creating the human race, okay, and that's what's being referred to here. This is bride, and that's the bride and the bridegroom, shall be heard no more at all in thee, for thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. Again, this word sorcery, okay, you know, it conjures up images and relates directly to what I was talking about before, is this ancient, you know, occultism, astrology, which is where we get our modern science of astronomy from, and this sort of thing. And that's what's at play here. Now remember, you know, you go, let's say, you know, let me think of a verse here, go to Deuteronomy chapter 7 and chapter 8. Okay, I mean, you know, when God, you know, when the ancient Israelis finally make it into the promised land, okay, and God says, you know, go in there and just destroy everything, you know, kill everybody. This is what's at play here, okay? People say, again,
right,
you know,
exactly.
It's a concept of potential, but this is the evil that he's dealing with, in other words. This is what he was talking about, the Canaanites with their worship, or their worship of the star in the skies and their sacrifice of young children. Okay, which is a historical fact. Okay, this is reflected in the modern day environmental movement, these genocidal maniacs in the environmental movement. This is why I get so fired up with the environmental movement.
Right, exactly.
It's not about the legitimate environmental causes. It's just a cover for this modern day Baal worship and these sorceries. And if you look, you know, at the nature, you can see a lot of these same symbolism and these nature freaks we have today, the druids and, you know, their descendants are still around, and, you know, and May 1st and the Maypole and Beltane and all these other things. And Gaia is still a term that's tossed around by the environmental movement. This has elements, or this has its founding in this kind of concept of ancient mythology, which I'm saying isn't really mythology at all, but it's just another, it's just a secular or the Greek / Egyptian / Roman version of the events of Genesis of the Old Testament. Okay, so that's the language. That is where we are, and I see we're, you know, we're almost at the end here, so I'll shut
definitely.
Up now.
So we're, yeah, so no, that's okay. Where can we find information on you, purchase your book, and learn more about you? Where can we go, Rob?
Again, it's boxofsunglasses.com, one word. The book, The Un-American Genocidal Complex, I would ask that people purchase the book. It's my only source of revenue. I don't advertise otherwise. There's no pop-up ads. That's all available on my site, and a lot of what I'm saying here, the Cliff Notes version is what the show really is. A lot of what I'm saying here will make a lot more sense if you go and peruse the website and read up on some of this stuff.
And that's so important, because, again, you have to be able to be there to help in that guiding process. Like, it could seem overwhelming, all the different things you've come up with. However, if you go any further and look at the ins and outs from the book, you'll have a better understanding. So definitely people need to purchase the book. So good talking to you, Rob, and take care, Rob, and thanks for coming on the show.
I know. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, God bless. Talk to you soon, man. Okay, take care.
Bye. God bless.
All right, that was Rob Roselli. Take care, guys, and we'll be live tomorrow. Take care.
There are lots of things you can spend your tax refund on, but one thing you don't have to spend it on? A new smartphone. Switch to MetroPCS now and get not one, but two free 4G LTE smartphones for brands like Samsung and LG. Plus, you're on T-Mobile's blazing fast nationwide 4G LTE network. Hurry, switch to MetroPCS and get two free smartphones after instant rebate. One heck of a deal, only at MetroPCS. Limited time offer. Sales tax not included in phone price. Coverage and services not available everywhere. See store for details and terms and conditions.